may be seated. Today's message is titled, If Anybody's Got You, He's Got You. You know, that phrase is all over today. You know, I was watching the news, an advertisement for the weather report. One of the channels was advertising its news, and the news anchor was saying, for the latest, how this week is going to unfold, we got you. And people will say that, I got you, to one another. It's the big phrase today, I got you. Today's message is, if anybody's got you, he's got you. And our text comes from Isaiah chapter 40, and we're going to be looking at verses 27 through the end of the chapter. And I can't believe that I haven't preached on this passage since we've been in this building. I can't believe it, but it is so. I checked. Isaiah 40, starting in verse 27. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar, they will mount up on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. You and I are here this morning because the Lord has been faithful to those words. We are here because the Lord has somewhere along the line renewed our strength. Somewhere along the line, we got weary. Somewhere along the line, we got sidetracked. Somewhere along the line, something happened to raise a question mark in our minds about God's love for us or the reality of this thing, or am I doing it right? Have I missed something? Did I not pray the right thing? Something came along in our path as an obstacle to slow us down or derail us or to drain us. There have been times when we've been at spots where we just haven't had the energy to go on or even the desire to go on. And we were wondering, how are we ever going to recover? Or how am I ever going to return to that place of vibrancy, that place of vitality where my stallion was? We are here because the Lord has been faithful to this promise, to each one of us, in his own unique way for each one of us. This is a Hall of Fame Bible passage. That's what I call it. It's a Hall of Fame. When I started reading it, you all knew where I was going after the first couple words. It is a Hall of Fame passage. We often see it on posters. We see it on mugs, on t-shirts, on hats, on calendars, and all kinds of other Christian paraphernalia. It's a passage that we drive by like a bakery, and we love the smell every time we go by it. It's like, there that is again. It's that kind of a passage. But this morning, I want to pull in, and I want us to sit at the table, and I want us to not just smell the goodies. I want us to eat the goodies together. I want us to enjoy the goodies. I don't want us to just have a whiff. I want us to sit down and consume the goodies and to pat our stomachs and say, it was better than it smelled. Wow, it was better than it smelled. Do you ever feel like, as it says in verse 27, do you ever feel like your way is hidden from the Lord? That your way is hidden from the Lord, that even though you know he's omniscient, even though you know he knows everything and he's everywhere, he somehow lost track of you. Ever feel like your situation has fallen off his radar? That your tired voice can no longer reach the ears of the Lord? Or that your cause is not received by the Lord. Your cause is dismissed or discarded by the Lord as being insignificant or lower on his list of priorities. Sort of the way that the Supreme Court decides whether it's going to take a case or not. Maybe you feel like your case isn't rising to the level where the Lord is giving it his utmost attention. I mean, it's in there somewhere. It's in the queue. I know he knows it's in there. But it's not right there in front of him. It's not on his desk. It's not an immediate thing for him. He's got other things that he's doing. And I'm not really sure this is all that important anyway. I mean, it's important to me, but in the big scale of things, it's what I want. But there are people in this world who are dealing with much bigger things than me. There are people who are handling much more adversity than this thing. And so I'm not sure that the Lord is giving it his full attention. I mean, if everyone presented their issues to me, I'd have to prioritize. You know, if somebody was, it was a life or death situation for somebody, and here you've got a situation that can be handled at a later date, then I'm going to kind of give my attention, obviously, to that which is most urgent. That which is most essential. Here are three things from this text that God wants, and I believe this, that he wants us to internalize, that he wants us to trust him for. Not just look at it in the showcase and say, well, that's a nice verse, or that's a nice thought, or that's a nice poetic expression. That's a nice inspirational truth. I believe these are things that God wants us to believe about him and trust him for in our day to day. In Sunday school, we were talking about the difference between knowing something and believing something. In Sunday school, we were talking about how something can become so familiar to you that you think just because of its familiarity, it is a truth that you are embracing. And they are not the same thing. Driving by the bakery and smelling what's coming from within is not the same as sitting down and eating the goodies. The Lord wants us to fill up on the goodies. He wants us to be satisfied in our deepest part, in the deepest parts of our being with the goodies. He wants to help us to trust him for these things. He didn't share them through the prophet Isaiah for his health. He didn't say it to be an impressive orator. He shared them because he wants his people to understand something about him and to embrace some truths about him that will directly affect the quality of their spiritual journey on this earth, that will directly impact how they perceive him. And so he lays it out here for us. So here are three things that God wants us to internalize and trust him for. And this month we're talking about, our theme is celebrating Christ. It's celebrating Jesus. These are things that God wants us to celebrate before him that are all about him. And in doing so, it becomes true for us, not just rhetoric. Three things. First, his endurance. He wants us to trust and internalize his endurance versus mankind's endurance. See, he doesn't grow tired or weary. He doesn't grow tired or weary. We try to be conscious of how much we're talking about our situation with other people. We try to be polite. We try to be conscious. If we find ourselves talking a whole lot, we try to reel it in some, because we know that they can only take so much. We know that. And that's a good thing, because it's true. They can only take so much. It's who we are. It's what we're like. It's humankind. But the Lord does not grow weary or tired. We can only take so much, and we get tired and we get weary, or we have so much other stuff on our plates. So much other stuff on our plates take it up, our focus. But he doesn't think of it this way. He doesn't get overwhelmed and lose track. The affairs of earth, all of them, the affairs of earth are never too much for him to sort out. Psalm 121, verse 4 says, he neither slumbers nor sleeps. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't get weary. He doesn't slumber. He doesn't doze off. You ever have somebody talking to you and you doze off, and you wake up when they're just ending, and they say, did you hear what I said? Mm-hmm. My wife says, I'm really good at this. She said, you are really, really good at falling asleep and not paying attention to two-thirds of what I'm saying. Then you wake up at the last third, and somehow you're able to weave it all the way back to the beginning and make it sound like you were paying attention all the time. The Lord doesn't, you know, the Lord doesn't doze off on us. He doesn't doze off. He doesn't lose focus. He doesn't get distracted. We get distracted in our own prayers. First we're praying for this brother, and the next thing we're talking about a squirrel. And we get more distracted than he does. We will tire ourselves out talking to him. We will tire ourselves out talking to him. But we will not tire him out from listening to us. He doesn't grow tired. He doesn't grow weary. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. He doesn't call himself the everlasting God for nothing. He's the everlasting God because he will outlast us. Everlasting means enduring forever. And because he is everlasting, if anybody's got you, he's got you. Because everybody else, nobody else can be everlasting. Nobody else can say, I don't grow tired or weary. Nobody else can say, I neither slumber nor sleep. But he says this about himself. And he wants us to trust that about him. So when we go to him in prayer, when we are talking to him, we know that he is ever present, as it says in Psalm 46. When it says he is an ever present help in trouble, that means I am not just physically there. I am present in every way possible. I'm there emotionally. I'm there mentally. I'm there psychologically. I'm there in every possible way. There isn't a part of me that is not present when you call and when you call on me. He wants us to know this. Your case is not e pluribus unum with him. It's not one of many, and he's got to sort through them all and figure them all out. He is able to give you 100% of his attention while he's giving Laverne 100% of his attention. And if you can't figure that out, that's why he's God. That's why he's God. And that's who he is. And that's what he wants you to believe about him. Omniscient means I know everything. I am present everywhere there is a place to be. And I know everything about it. So he wants us to know this when we approach him. That he's not like people. He's not like us. He's the everlasting God. And his endurance is out of this world. And he doesn't get tired, and he doesn't get weary, and he doesn't slumber. Amen. He doesn't lose focus, and he doesn't sleep. Believe it. Eat the goodies. Smell it, but eat it. Secondly, his understanding. He wants us to trust in his understanding. One word, it says. It's unfathomable. He doesn't just kind of understand. He does understand. Even before a word is on our tongue, he knows it all together. Jesus knows all about our struggles, not just what you're in right now. He knows why you're in it, how you got in it, and how to get you out of it. He knows all about our struggles. There are times when we just don't know what to say. And there are times when we just don't know what to do. I was talking to a brother just yesterday, dear brother. And he and I were chatting at my house, and he was explaining some things going on with him, explaining some things going on with his wife, and just explaining a difficult stretch that they're in right now. And at times like that, you wish you knew what to say. You wish, you know you can't fix it. There's nothing you can do, but can I at least say something that will have some substance and have some meaning and be more than a platitude and something more than a Christian cliche? Can I say something to you that will really bless you and benefit you and move you to another place? And sometimes the Lord is so gracious to us, and he allows us that word. And we speak that word, even sometimes when we feel like it's insufficient and inadequate. Person calls up and says, thank you for that. That's just what I needed to hear. And that's all I needed to hear. I just needed to be reminded. But he understands everything implicitly. He's never confused about what to do. As I've said many times, God has never scratched his head trying to figure it out. There are no curveballs. I mean, everything is straight down the middle of the plate for him. Nothing tricks him. Nothing gets past him. His understanding is unfathomable. We don't know nobody like that who understands everything, who understands it so deeply that it blows your mind. That's what unfathomable means. It means you understand it so well. You know how some people get it when you say something to them and they understand it? And you know they understand it? They'll say something to you and they're able to connect a few of the dots. You got it. And yeah, you did get it. They kind of got it. They kind of got it. Even when you feel like they really got it. See, they got what you just said. And they got some of what you meant. But they did not get all that is behind why you said it. They don't get where it came from. They might get what you said, and they may be able to get some glimpses of why you feel that way. But the Lord knows the roots of that thing. He knows when that thing was born. Its birthplace, its birth time, when it started to grow, and not just when it manifested. He saw that thing conceived. His understanding, no one can fathom. His understanding of your situation is complete. Complete. No loose ends, no loose strings, no unsolved issues. It's complete. But wait. There's more. It isn't just complete. It's unfathomable. The unfathomableness of it comes into view when we consider that he not only understands the situation that we are in as a standalone. He doesn't just understand it, but he understands how it connects with everything else that has ever happened or ever will happen on the planet. He understands its context in the present, but he also understands its context in history and how this particular thing connects to his global, universal, everlasting purposes and is part of the mosaic of his divine will. All of it. It's not a standalone over here little puzzle that you work out. His understanding takes it to a whole new level. You know, your action today somehow fits into the Apostle Paul's conversion. Wait a minute. And the Lord sees how it connects. Do you hear what I'm saying? His understanding, no one can fathom. He just knows. He knows everything that has happened on this planet, even your thoughts and your heart. He knows the thoughts of all men. Are you feeling the unfathomableness of this? Now you're eating the goody. If you're feeling that, that's the goody. That's how big it is. So your situation, when you're praying for your kids, I pray for my kids. When you're praying for your spouse, when you're praying for the health of a friend, when you're praying about a financial situation, when you're praying about life as you experience it day by day, the smallest of things, because he doesn't grow tired or weary, because he neither slumbers nor sleeps, because he's always focused, and because his understanding is inscrutable, it's unfathomable, because of that, your issue is showcased for him at all times. He is looking at it. He understands it. He understands what it is. He understands how you feel about it, how to care for how you feel about it, how to give you what you need in the present place. Like I said, he's nourished us forward. We're here because of his faithfulness. You know, you're tired of praying about it. You're weary. You're worn out. Somehow he's given you new strength. And somehow he's given you inspiration to keep trusting, to keep praying, to keep seeking, to keep knocking, to not give up. Somehow he has done that. Thank you, Jesus. His understanding, no one can fathom it. The scripture puts it simply like this. In Isaiah 46:10, it says, he declares the end from the beginning. He declares the end from the beginning. He sees the whole continuum of everything, the beginning to the end. Thank you, Jesus. Trust him for that. That's who you're talking to. Sometimes our vision of the one to whom we belong is so much smaller than he wants it to be. And so he plants texts like these and Psalm 139 and others to expand our vision so that we see we don't serve a small God. We don't serve a tiny God. We don't serve a God who's kind of slow. You know, we don't serve a God who has one arm tied behind his back. We don't serve a God who cannot relate to where we are. We don't serve that kind of God. No, my understanding, nobody can fathom. I know you, Donna, better than you could even begin to imagine. And I can do anything. And I can do it in a way is beyond anything that you would think or imagine. That's who I am. That's who I am. I want you to know that me, Mary. I want you to pray to that me. I want you to internalize that me. You know, in our casualness, in our view of God as our companion, and indeed he is, the Holy Spirit is a friend, a comforter. He's a guide. He's a coach. He's a teacher. He's the lover of our soul. He's intimate with us. He is. And he's in us to be that companion. And he is in us to be that friend. But it is important for us to recognize that that ain't no human inside of me. That's no human being friend in me. The friend that lives in me is the friend described here. This is who is living in me. And because he understands the situation completely, if anybody's got you, he's got you. And finally, he wants us to internalize and to believe in his ability. It says he gives new strength to the weary. He gives new strength. Not a recharge, retread, or recycling of the old strength. He gives new strength. Fresh from the oven, fresh from his oven of grace, new strength. Here you go, George. This is not leftovers. This is new strength. This is the kind of strength that comes directly from me to you, and it is especially tailored for what you're dealing with. You see, it's not strength for yesterday's stuff, and it's not strength for tomorrow's stuff. It's new strength for you, for where you are, right here and now. That's what I deliver. Perfectly tailored, perfectly measured, new strength, appropriately dispensed. Not too much, not too little, just what you need for where you are. Wait on the Lord, and I'm going to give you new strength. Strength you've never had before. Never had before. Not this. Because it's for where you are today. And where you are today, you've never been there before. It may look familiar, may feel familiar, but you've never been there before. This is new. Situation has changed around you. Different players, different issues, different things. The people that are a part of this have moved on a little bit. It's a little different. So I'm going to give you new strength for this situation right here, tailored for you. For this situation, you may grow weary, and you will, but he doesn't. He doesn't. See, the plan was never for us to generate our own spiritual power. The plan from God was never for us to be strong enough. The plan was never for us to be able to do it on our own. That was never the plan. You know that? It was never the plan that you were going to grow to a spot where now you have enough strength to do it. That was never the plan. The plan was never that you're going to learn so much that now you have this reservoir of strength that is beyond, that doesn't come from God, but you've kind of built up your own little storehouse through your own prayer and meditation. You've thrown it all in the barn, and then when you need strength, you go out to the barn and drag some out and boom, put it on the table and start eating it. Now you've got strength. That is not how it works. That was never the plan. It was never the plan for us to be independently powered. Take it from God and run. Throw it in the barn for what I need it. That was never the plan. Be strong in the Lord, it says in Ephesians 6. And in what? His mighty power. It doesn't just say be strong in the Lord on your own. No, no, no. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Jesus certainly didn't expect the disciples, with all of his teaching, he never expected them to get it and to now be able to operate and just do what he said. No, he said, y'all wait for the promised Holy Spirit. Then you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Then you'll be my witnesses. Whose power is it? It's the Holy Spirit's power. He certainly didn't expect them to be able to do it, because he said to them, apart from me, guess what? You can do nothing. You are a car without a battery. You ain't going nowhere. 2 Corinthians 12:9, Paul said, I would rather boast in my weaknesses that the power of Christ will dwell in me. And he says, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Wait a minute. You know why? Because it's not my strength. I'm weak, but I'm strong. I'm strong because it's not my strength. That's why I'm strong. In Deuteronomy 32:6, I love this. It says, the Lord will judge his people and have compassion on his servants when he sees their strength is gone. When he sees that it's gone, and he knows it's going. See, we've got some strength, but we ain't got nothing really. A puff of smoke. and we're done. That's it. Red Bull may give you wings, but I want eagle's wings. And the eagle's wings come from him. And he distributes them to me when I need them most. He tailors them to my need. They fit just right. Eagle's wings. New strength to each one of us in whatever situation. That's why you're here. Do you know that? That's why you're here. He's been doing this. Isaiah just pulls the curtain back so we can see what he's been doing. That's all. This is what he has been doing. He's been giving you new strength. He's been figuring out your situation. He's been understanding you. All these things, he's already been doing them. The minute you said yes to Jesus, he started doing it. This is just about understanding what he's doing and trusting in him for what he's doing, recognizing that that's who he is. Care packages. He gives us strength by sending these care packages of inspiration. And what I mean by care packages of inspiration is that he uses people to deliver them. The Lord sends care packages to us through one another. It could be a word spoken, it could be a look, it could be a touch, or it could be a token of some physical token, expression of love. But the Lord uses his people. Don't forget, the Lord uses his body to care for his body. He uses his body to care for the members of his body. If you want to enhance your awareness of the Lord's care, don't underestimate your service to another believer. If you really want to enhance your awareness of the Lord's care, don't underestimate your service to another believer, and don't overlook God's care for you through another believer. Because he uses his body to care for his body. Robin, Keisha, Darren, Darnell, bless their hearts. They were serving us on Resurrection Sunday. I haven't been up here since Resurrection Sunday, but Resurrection Sunday we had a breakfast, and they gave us such a spread. Table set up, food all delicious. We sat down, enjoyed it, had fellowship together talking about the Lord, and then we had a big old debate about whether or not we should use an Android or an iPhone. It was wonderful. And Robin said to me afterwards, because they were preparing, they didn't have a chance to come in for the meditation service that preceded breakfast. And Robin stopped me in the kitchen area there, and she was beaming. And she said, you know what? This is the Lord serving through me. This is the Lord. This is what he put me here this morning. I missed the service. But I just, and she wasn't making it up. I didn't tell her to say that. I mean, she was glowing. And the Lord just blessed her to see that I'm working through you, Robin. When you see Darren running back and forth, don't just see Darren. See God in Darren. See, God has changed and worked on his motivation and incentive and directed it to his people. He uses his people to care for his people. You see the people back in the sound booth, that's just not Avon and Lynn. That's the Lord working through Avon and Lynn and inspiring them forward. So if you really want to enhance your awareness of the Lord's care, don't underestimate your service. Recognize who is behind it. Recognize who's moving you forward. And then don't overestimate or don't overlook God's care through another believer. He gives strength to the weary, and not just creeping strength. When you're out of fuel, he doesn't come with a gas can. This should be enough to get you there. I hope. He comes with jet fuel and converts your engine. And you soar like an eagle, it says. There's nothing meager about him. He doesn't have to ration the energy he brings. And because he's the one who gives us new strength, if anybody's got you, he's got you. So why do we love this passage? Every time we read it, it elicits these head nods and amens and hallelujahs. We love it because we know what it means to be tired. And we know what it means to stumble badly. And we know what it feels like to have the Lord come to our rescue with renewing power and not only keeps us going, but also causes us to soar above and beyond our human limitations. We've seen it. We've tasted it. That's who he is. And that's who he will always be for each one of us. And so we can say with confidence, when someone says, I got you, say, thank you. But realize, if anybody's got me, the Lord's got me, and I'm done.